Hey, welcome to the second episode of Kristen and Chill. If you made it through last week and you're here again, that's a great sign that you didn't hate the new format. Or you're just here because you're a masochist and hate listen to shows. I hate look at Instagram pages of people and things I don't like, so I get it. But if you do hate listen to the show, don't. Because I want you to take care of your mental health. But actually do, because I need your download. So either way, whatever. It's your life. You do what you're going to do. Today, I have my friend Allie Breen on the show, who's a super funny comedian, as well as my friend Dan Jordan, who I met in advertising school, but I didn't end up going into advertising because I realized that jobs just aren't my thing. Neither is waking up every day at the same time or living financially comfortably. So anyway, Dan and Allie are really cool about bitching and complaining with me about certain things, as well as being honest about what they tell their therapist and weird things they do. Kind of the same deal as last week, only different. Because different people. So I hope you guys enjoy this week's show. You can always find me if you want to on Instagram and hate look at my Instagram page at Chris Karn, KRISCARN, or you can find the podcast itself on Instagram at Kristen and Chill Podcast. So as I always say, to normalize anything, we talk about it as it's an everyday thing because it is. We don't treat it special or tiptoe around anything. So nothing's off limits here. And if you like the show and you want to support it, and by it, I mean me, please go to patreon.com/mentallychill. You get access to behind the scenes stuff and perks. And tomorrow, Wednesday, March 6th, I'm going to be doing a live stream on Patreon where I just chit chat with you guys. You guys ask me questions. I ask you questions. We hang out just like we're buddies, because we are. And again, that's at patreon.com/mentallychill. And until then, enjoy this week's show. So now I'm doing the show with three people, and I can't even have like a birthday party. I'm not even comfortable with that. And now with this, it's going to be like every week. If I keep doing three people, it's going to be like a get together every week. Like, I'm so uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. I thought I was hosting today.
Thank you. Please host.
Take it.
Well, when we were just standing outside the door, Dan was like, I had nothing to do today. So when you asked me to do this, I was like, yeah, cool, definitely. And then when he had to leave to come here, he was like, oh, I have something to do today.
I told you that in confidence, but...
But that's the better way to do it, is day of, because you're right. If you plan this like 4 days ahead, you can stress out that you're like, oh my God, I have that thing that I have to do on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or today's Sunday.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, it's one of those things where like all day, I was like, I don't really have to do anything. And then when I had to do it, I was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I do, of course, but.
Is there any scenario where that doesn't happen? Like where you're like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm excited about it.
I think if you have like tickets to something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, I really want to, I can't wait for this thing.
I should sell tickets to this podcast.
There's nothing like starting a podcast with all of us being like, we so don't want to do this. This is the worst.
I know.
Yeah, why are we even doing this?
I don't know.
But the
I
weird
really
thing
don't.
Is, once you do something, that's the thing, I dread doing stuff all the time. And then once you do it, you're usually like, oh, I'm glad I did this. This is way better than sitting at home.
Yeah. Like last week I talked about dreading phone calls. Like I really almost feel like I have to black out before a phone call because I get so anxious. But then I'm done with the phone call in 15 minutes and my brain almost feels better and I've survived.
I always like I'll do something as trivial as like a 10-minute phone call, and the amount of self-pride I get, I'll be like, did it. Nailed
know,
it.
I know.
And it's like the saddest thing. But I make like a to-do list every day. So like that would be on it, and it's like, you know what I mean? Just crossing stuff off is like the greatest feeling.
Yeah.
And it's like I load it up with like the most trivial shit. Like it'll be like, wake up. Like,
yeah.
Bam. Did it.
Sometimes I'll do that too, just so I can have check marks.
Like shower. Be like, shower the shit out of that.
Yeah. I really don't shower unless it's on a to-do list. Like I can't force myself to do it unless I'm like, okay, I have to do this.
Yeah. If I have something to do, I'll shower. If not, I would never. I don't understand people who wear like clothes at home, who shower at home.
I know.
Why would you do any of that?
I know. The only reason I end up showering is because I want to shave my legs, because my legs get prickly so quick.
Right.
And then my jeans almost fit tighter. Like that's how hairy I feel like they get. So my only motivation is really to just like thin out my legs.
To not be a bear.
Yeah. But if it weren't for that, like if I was a guy and I didn't shave my legs, I would never get in the shower. I really wouldn't.
This is the first time I've worn like regular clothes in 5 days.
I didn't even step it up. I'm still in yoga pants and weird socks.
But the yoga pants with a sweater.
Yeah, it makes it feel like it's a little bit,
to the outside world, you're dressed.
Once I put boots on, it's a regular outfit.
Yeah.
Your Sunday best.
I don't find yoga pants that comfortable, though. Everyone talks about how they love yoga pants. It's like you're being squeezed into a vacuum.
Oh, well, if you don't get them that tight, that's the thing.
I think that's my problem.
Yeah. It's like you have to have one size up, maybe, but they're so comfortable.
Yeah.
And don't do yoga while you wear them.
Never. Now, whenever I do yoga, I actually don't end up wearing yoga pants. And I don't really do yoga. What am I talking about? But I just end up wearing like baggy sweatpants. The dudes always are not wearing the pants in yoga. They're always going for like the Speedo look.
Yep.
Or the shorts where when they bend over, you can just see a lot that you don't want to see.
Mm-hmm. The bare legs that I just shaved. Like basically like that's what I would have looked like. So we're going to do things I should tell my therapist. And I'll start since I am the host of the show, unfortunately. Something that I have to tell my therapist would be about massages, because we were talking about massages when we got here for some, because of craft.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now like to non-hand job massages, just to regular massages, I cannot for the life of me work up the courage to say too hard when I'm getting a massage. And I would rather just suffer through the pain for a full hour rather than just be like, can you go a little lighter? Like I cannot find the strength to say anything.
Yeah. I do the same thing, but I always feel like they're the trained professional, so they know what they're doing. So while it will be like utter pain, like I'm just like, holy shit. And they'll even ask, they'll be like, want me to like lighten up a little bit? And I'll be like, no, just do your thing. You know what you're doing.
Well, if I say no, I usually say no because I've said I like it hard. So then I can't look like I pussed out.
That's why. You actually say in the beginning you want it hard.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And then I can't be like, no, too hard. Because I'll look like a pussy. Like I want to look tough. So I just always go like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's great.
Yeah, because I like it. I like to be like beat up. I like it as hard as they can do it.
I do
so
too. I really do.
Go. I feel like the pain is good, but that's,
it's good pain. It hurts so good. But then there's a point where I'm like, I think I start sweating because the pain is so intense. Yeah. That's like I should probably say something, but it is like a hurt so good thing.
I kind of don't say anything because then I'm worried that they'll be like, oh, and then they'll light up so much that I'll be like, oh, exactly. This sucks now.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then you can't go back. It's like this girl doesn't know what she wants.
Yeah. And you already feel like they hate us. I mean, because most of the time I'm in like a, you know, little Korean, you know, massage place where they don't want me walking in. You can feel the hate. That's what makes the massage so good. Yeah. I think.
Well, they offered you a lady.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I've gone to get massages a million times and I go to these seedy places that are usually like Asian massage parlors because they will beat you up.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
well, one
spas
woman just stood on
do.
My back suddenly. I had no
they
idea
have
that was coming.
Straps on the ceiling so they can do that. Yeah. You don't even know what's going on. You're just like, what is happening back there? It's just like they're hitting you with rocks. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, so one time, you know, when at the end they flip you over and you're lying on your back and they do like your neck and stuff. She was doing my legs and she went like all the way at my leg and she was like, oh, you want lady release? Oh my God. Yeah. And it was like this 50-year-old Korean lady. And I was like, no, God, no, please. No.
You're like, duh, God. I'm here.
I wouldn't know what that is though. I honestly would take it. Like I'd be like,
take a lady release?
A lady release just sounds like punching a guy. Like, do you want to just punch a guy? That just sounds like a lady release.
Do you want to just yell at someone on the street? Do you want me to call your ex?
Yeah. Call your mom, tell her you hate her.
Yeah, it was so creepy. And then that's a hard thing to sit through after, too. There was like 15 minutes left of the massage, and I was like, oh, this is awkward.
Yeah, because you rejected her in a way.
Yeah, honestly, kind of.
Were you worried she was like still going to do it?
No, I mean, because I definitely jumped to it wasn't like a no. I was like, no. Like,
did
she
you
got
have
it.
Underwear on or no underwear?
I had no underwear on.
See, that's a problem.
Do you think that's a sign? Like,
No, I don't think they should take that as a, oh, she wants a lady release, but there's no barrier. There's zero barrier.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, you know, I don't know. Sexual assault can happen easier.
Easily.
If there's no, obviously.
Like, oh, I just slipped in. I don't know.
Like people can figure out how to get around underwear. I'm not saying it's like a fail-proof like way to not get like raped or something. But when you do have the underwear on, it's almost like a, no.
this is where
elastic.
You stop.
This is really tight elastic.
Yeah.
So you have to really pull it really hard to get. I one time had a massage from this dude he was this massive dude. And it was amazing. It was the best massage. His hands were like the size of my entire back.
Yeah.
But then he started getting really close to the area. And I'm like, and this is like a whole conversation for like actual probably like assault. Which I'm not.
We're like, ha ha ha.
We're listening.
I was assaulted this one time.
This is hilarious.
It was hilarious. But he got like super close, but like not totally. And it was one of those things where I'm like, if I say something, it's just going to make it uncomfortable. Because maybe he wasn't even doing it on purpose.
But you know what? That's the whole issue with the whole thing. I think that's the thing that as women, we always feel like. We're like, ooh, this is going to make it awkward to stop my own sexual assault.
Right. No, really?
Like, what if they think I'm weird by saying?
Well, I've always said, like, I probably will get murdered out of politeness.
Yeah, totally.
Because
you're like, oh, is this weird enough to say something? Maybe it would be weird if I said something.
Right. I don't want to be rude.
Totally.
Like, okay.
Yeah, that's especially with like the sexual. You're right, because sometimes especially like guys will like graze something or like hug a little too, and you're like, oh, is this enough to say? Because there are girls that like, if a guy just like looks their direction, they're like, excuse me. Yeah. And you're like, okay, that's a little much.
Yeah.
But there's like a happy medium that I think no one's really hitting too yeah. well. I think you and I are on the opposite side of this. I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, it would be strange if I told him to stop assaulting
yeah,
me.
Yeah. And honestly, I want to enjoy the rest of the massage.
Yeah.
I'm
right.
paying a lot of money. I don't want to get like more tense from my massage.
And he'll like move back. And then you're like, oh, okay, yeah. now it's fine.
Yeah. Like, but sometimes it's like, I need a post massage massage because I was so stressed that I couldn't tell them to soften up and that I couldn't stop my own assault.
Yeah.
And
I've done that a bunch of times, like the massage itself, because I haven't got that many of them. So I'm always kind of like very trusting. They're also like crazy expensive. So you're kind of like, the whole thing is like stressful until like the very end. And then you're like, oh shit.
I know. Well, because they're so, but if I go to a nice place and they're expensive, I close my eyes and I'm like, focus on how good this is. Focus on how good this is. And then I stop focusing on how good it is. And I'm just focused on trying to enjoy this because I'm paying so much money.
Yeah.
Or I'm not enjoying it just because it's way too hard, even though I asked it to be hard. But
yeah, that's the weird thing. That's when I always tell myself I'll enjoy it after. It's like, oh, but afterwards you're going to feel so good.
Yeah, like, but then you go back outside in the real world and you like now need another massage
yeah.
instantly.
Yeah.
There should be a room that is in, not in the massage place, but almost like an exit before the exit. Where you decompress.
It's like a gift shop.
Yeah, like,
well, not the nice just places have that.
Yeah, but
they'll
not
have,
even
like, the
that.
Jacuzzi and the steam room, and you can decompress there.
But this would be like a step into the world, so it's not as spa ish. It's almost like not as extreme as being on a New York street, but not as nice as being in a spa. Like, we need a transitional room.
Just so like, it's like an alley with a massage.
Yeah, like one person being kind of annoying. So you can just kind of transition into the annoyance on the street. It's just yeah. so harsh to go from like spa music and crickets to literally like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, particularly in New York, that's funny you say that because it's like you get this like crazy 1 hour massage. You're like all discombobulated. They're like, make sure you drink water. And then you walk out and it's just like, huh?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. You're thrown right back into reality really
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah. But I'm talking like I've gotten a massage lately. I haven't had a massage in like a year and a half or 2 years.
I go all the time because when you have downtime like between sets or whatever, there's all these little places that are like $20 for 20 minutes, $30 for 30 minutes. They're so good. Those are the ones that'll beat you up, but yeah. they're so unsanitary. I mean, you're lying on towels that you're like, these have not been washed in years.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
But it's worth it.
Have yeah. you ever got like a massage like at the mall? You know, you can like step off and like do
in
the
public,
little...
like yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Oh, where you put your head in the donut.
Yeah,
yeah. I've only had that when you walk through the mall. Sometimes the little women would chase you and they'd be like, "Oh, free sample," and they'd rub your back for like 2 minutes and then try to draw you in.
But they're never that good. Those ones.
Yeah,
they're like the people who couldn't get hired at the actual walk-in place.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
I think the worst thing is like if you go to those little like rest areas when like you're driving on 95. There'll be, it's like the things that like the sharper image, you like sit into the seat and they like vibrate. Like I've seen near the restrooms, there'll be like women, men, and then someone will be getting like a 2 minute weird like vibrating chair
massage. I know,
and
you're watching them in public. It should be private.
There's like yeah. Sbarros right behind them.
Yeah.
Like, they have those at airports now too, those massage chairs yeah. where people just sit and vibrate for a while.
They're not even very good.
No, they're terrible.
Oh, they're amazing.
Oh,
no, honestly.
That's so funny. I never had a good one either.
No, I've felt like, okay, I can feel how this would be somewhat therapeutic to my body, but I think that's only been because I was so desperate for touch that I'm like, this actually feels good. But then once I actually am fulfilled with touch from another human, like the chair, you realize how bad it actually is.
Yeah.
You have to be super, super desperate for comfort and touch
yeah,
to
for
enjoy
anything
those chairs.
To make you feel like you're having some sort yeah. of connection
yeah.
with something.
The chair, you can get like lady release.
You can probably arrange like it kind of on your own.
Five more quarters.
It's too expensive.
You just have to sit strangely in a public place. Yeah. Like you have to arrange your body.
There should be a barrier.
You're
like
waiting for Taco Bell.
Those little walls that you can put, like a divider at least.
Yeah, like a curtain.
Yeah.
Wouldn't kill them.
But then we'd be like, oh, what's going on behind
there? That's the problem.
Exactly.
And I'm sure it
and
would be something
would
horrible.
It.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be like the new trucker rest stop for dudes or something.
Yeah.
Like that's where the hookups happen.
You're right. Once you give people privacy, the worst things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting what goes on behind closed doors.
Yep. I know. It is horrific, really.
Yeah.
All right. What would you guys tell your therapist?
I guess on the same note, but the opposite, like I kind of like pain a little, like I like plucking, and like if I sit here doing nothing, I'll like pluck little hairs out of my face, and like the more it hurts, the more I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'll do that all over my body sometimes. And then I realize like that's the weird thing about doing something in private and then being in public and all of a sudden absentmindedly being like, oh God, this is weird.
Yeah. But that's like the wimpiest way to cut or something.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, oh, it's like working my way up to cutting right. or like doing something that's actually painful.
Has anyone ever like pointed it out? They're like, hey, Allie, what the hell are you doing?
Only when I've when I've lived with a boyfriend or something, and then I don't care. You know, when they become like an extension of you and you just act like you're, and I'm like, okay, this is just, it feels good. Like this weird pain and like, even like eyebrow, like all that stuff. People are like, oh, I can't do this. It hurts. I can't do waxing.
What about
I love
plucking
all that stuff.
Hairs in your nose? That's discomfort to like the maximum.
The crazy, yeah, I've done that, but that's not, because then it makes your whole face need to.
So you don't like that level?
I don't like that level.
Yeah, that one's more intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like that too, to an extent. And I did this really weird thing when I lived in Chicago, which is where I met Dan. But I started chewing on the inside of my lip.
Oh yeah, I've done that. And then I would like bleeds.
Yeah, but then I'd create like a bump, and then I'd start chewing more on the bump, and then the bigger the bump would get, the more pain it would be in. But then I keep chewing around it to try to like get more bumps to like chew. It sounds disgusting.
That's not normal behavior.
It is for
That's
people
like
who listen to the
next
show.
Step to cutting yourself. Yeah, that's like one step up from the hair pulling.
Yeah, it's nice because you need no tools. Yeah. Like it's just you got your teeth. You can injure yourself. So I chewed out like the whole front bottom of my lip. And it was like a nervous thing. It was definitely a nervous thing.
Yeah.
But I kept doing it because it was like I was enjoying the satisfaction. It was almost like popping a pimple when I'd get like, I'd make like a little skin bump in my lip and then kind of chomp down on it and like pop it kind of. And so I kept making those and like getting this weird satisfaction. And then the whole entire bottom part of my lip was completely raw. And I thought, well, wounds heal by like drying out. But how is it going to dry out? Because my mouth is wet. So I slept overnight with a paper towel in my mouth to try to stop the wetness. And then when I woke up in the morning, it was super swollen and I pulled the paper towel off and it just ripped off the entire piece of skin like on that layer. So I ended up going to the doctor and I haven't done it. Like, I mean, I'll do it like little tiny ones, but I've never done it to that extent
right.
like since then. But, you know, I went to the doctor and just wasted like, I had no insurance and I wasted like $400 or something. And they were like, just get Orajel and wait for it to heal. So that was worth it. It was worth it for the pain, but not for the financial pain.
Right.
It's like, oh, God damn it. I have to pay that. I don't think I
see. That's the thing. I don't think I'd ever end up going. I think I'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to sit this out.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's that bad that you feel like it's not going to heal, you have to figure out something.
I looked like Angelina Jolie like lips. Crazy, like it was really swollen.
Yeah. It was so hot though.
I mean, I looked great and it was free. You know how much people pay for that right now?
Honestly.
That's interesting though. Cause like I'm like a nail biter and I'll do it in the traditional sense. Like if I'm watching sports, I could be like rip through them. Yeah. And then, but
That's so cliche. Like I've never actually seen someone bite their nails in a sporting event a sporting event.
Yeah, but that's like one of those things too. It's super like you don't really notice it until it's called out. That's why I asked, because my wife will be like, whoa, like you just like bit all your nails. I'll be like, no, I didn't. And then it's like, but I'll do it at work too. And
it's when you're a kid, you can get away with more of that stuff. Like I feel like picking, but like you could do more fidgeting to your face when you were a kid, but then how do you lose the habit as you get older? You know, like you have to transition into adulthood somehow and like stop the, but would always be those weird kids. Were you the weird kid who had like the basically no nail left because they like chewed it all off and their fingers would almost be like, their nail would almost blend into the skin at the tip of their finger.
Let's see. He's like, covering that hand. He's like, leave me alone.
Let me see.
Oh, that's pretty low, but it's not crazy.
Oh, yeah, but this one's kind of what
this
I'm talking about.
This one, too, goes below. Yeah. See, that, I can't. Yeah. I would bite nails, except I can't handle when it gets below that. When I feel air below that area, I can't handle that. Because I'll break nails sometimes and feel that, and I don't like that.
I don't like it either. But it's like,
but it's tasty, so you do it.
Oh, man.
Well, that's the thing, you got to put, if you have to enjoy the experience, you should put some like flavoring on the fingernail.
Like, yeah, like if I eat like a hot dog, it just gets, you know, you always get like mustard in your cuticles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mustard's always there. There's always proof you had mustard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it never goes away.
Everything.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about friends with you guys and if you're socially challenged or not, because I'm fascinated with how adults make friends or how kids make friends or why anyone has friends. So I want to talk to you guys. Both of whom are my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like casually, you know?
See, that's the best kind. I feel like as an adult, like 1 year my sister like fired all of her friends.
Oh, really?
And I was literally like, you know, no one works for you. And she's like, I don't care. I don't need them. Like, they were so, she's a mom. And she was like, people were getting upset with her for not staying in touch and not like hanging out and not going. And she was like, how do people not understand that there comes a point where it has to become more casual? Like, if you have sorority sisters and you get to see them all the time in college and then all of a sudden you have a family, of course that's going to change.
Right.
So she just got fed up and she's like, I'm done. I'm not talking to any of my friends anymore.
Did she tell them? Was there an actual firing?
No, I don't think she told them. She just stopped responding to everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was it. And when, like my sister, when she's terrifying. Like when she gets an idea like that, she will stick to it. Like if you get cut out, you're done. But that's the thing. It's like, right, like our kind of friend, I love that kind of thing where it's always great to see someone. It's always fun to talk to them, but it's not necessary all the time.
Yeah. Like I won't be mad if I don't hear from you in 6 months and like, yeah. I'll be happy if I don't hear from you
yeah,
in 6 months.
Yeah, you won't.
It's preferable. But like with Dan, like we don't talk really ever, but then like he texted me the other day and mentioned the podcast and then I forgot to write him back. So I'm like an asshole. And I actually did forget to write you back. That wasn't like I'm ignoring you. And so then all of a sudden this morning I was like, wait a second, Dan should do the podcast with Allie. And then I was like, oh, then I have to write Dan back. But there's no like
weirdness
in the fact that like I didn't, I mean, maybe there was, but like I didn't write you back in like 5 days.
What I thought though, like it makes me happy because like I was like, oh, maybe she got a new phone. You know what I mean? I gave you like the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, good.
So it went there and then I was like, fucking bitch.
I love that. Kristen's like, oh, it was totally cool. There's no reason you're like that motherfucker.
When I walked in the lobby, Dan like had a knife out, but then decided to put it away.
Yeah.
He's like, at least do the episode and then.
Yeah, I want to get the podcast recorded first.
And then take care of business.
But yeah, like I don't know how people have friendships that really like are responsibilities. Like how did you, okay, no, that's what I wanted to ask. So for you, Allie,
yeah,
you seem like you'd be an introvert, but also an extrovert. I feel like you're kind of similar to me.
Yeah.
But you have like a lot of people that you're friends with and you know. How did that happen? And who made the first move with like most of your friends? Did you, like I made the first move with you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And that was great. I guess maybe that's how, I don't know. Like I'm very, I guess introverted is the word. I'm not, I don't like go out of my way to talk to people, but I'm always super, like I like when people talk to me. And so that always strikes up a friendship usually. And I think it's the same way as with us. Like we were acquaintances and we knew each other through comedy. And then you had an idea and we started talking about it. That's happened so many times. Like I have very good friends that I do talk to or see a couple times a week in New York. And I don't even know if I can pinpoint exactly how it started, but it's like we kind of knew each other. We did shows together or one of us had an idea that we collaborated on. And then it became just like a closer friendship. And then it'll like come and go with people have boyfriends, people have like road trips, whatever. And so it'll be like more often or less often that we'll see each other.
Yeah, there's like an ebb and flow.
Yeah, there's an ebb and flow. But for the most part, I feel like like-minded because in comedy, it's very cliquey, I guess. I've never really been part of a clique, but like people from every...
That's why I like you.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing you at an open mic at West... I look at Dan. I'm like, open mic.
Oh, yeah. Big open mic right here.
He's familiar with those. It was at in Westwood. What was that?
Oh my the God, bar? Bruco.
Bruco.
Yes.
And everyone is always so clicky and just seems kind of like an asshole. And like you were up and I didn't know you and you seemed really cool. And I don't think I saw you talk to anybody, but you were really funny. And you did a bit about like napping all the time or something.
And I'm like, oh my God,
relate.
We're soulmates.
Yeah, we are. And so I remember like you know, you left and I didn't introduce myself or anything. So, like, but that's what, like, what do I say as an adult? Like, hi, I also like to nap. Like, and I don't think you saw my set. Like, I think I went up way after you and you had already left or something.
That's so funny.
So then you have to do the creep and like make the first move. And so then like 2 years later or something, I was like, Allie would be really fun to make videos with, but I don't think we had ever really talked. And that took a lot of balls for me because I remember
you were saying that. And then when we first got together, we were both, because we're both kind of awkward at first before we used to know each other. We were like, and then, well, what do you think? And I like,
yeah.
That's like a tough place though to meet an open mic or any mic. Like I've had people come up to me as it's kind of setting up and like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's up? And you're kind of like, running jokes in your
like
head, you're kind of like, yeah, don't
you.
Talk to me, I don't care. And then they're like, my name is this. And you're like, nope, I'm not going to remember that. And then you're just like, open with this, close with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
at the end, you're like, where is that
And then
person?
He's like, fuck you.
Like, you weren't even funny.
Why are you talking to me? Yeah, I feel like too, though, also in comedy, like you see who people are friends with. And if it's not clicky, like you can tell who you're like, oh, that person seems like they're going to be an asshole. And then, because we also did a Friends in Common.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and everyone, you hear like, oh, this person's really cool. And then you have like a good idea of who you would get along with and who you wouldn't. But in comedy, that's the, I was talking to a friend about this, who lives in Westchester, because he belongs to like club. People will join golf clubs or they'll join like hunting clubs or whatever, because it's hard to have a social life if you're like a 9-to-5 person. And I don't even understand that, because it's so different in comedy. You're around people so much that like I prefer on any time that I can to be alone.
Yeah. You know? I mean, like, the irony, it just seems like comics wouldn't want to be around people, yet all the people they have to be around to do comedy.
And it's like you have to be around other comics. You have to be around audiences. You have to be around the club people. You have to be, it's like you constantly have to be on.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I wanted to ask you personally for, like, you know, advice in the comedy scene, but also like just for the podcast, but mostly because I'm curious. How do you start relationships with people in clubs? Do you think they see through it? Like, oh, she just wants to get booked here. Like our very lovely friend, John Truson.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He seems awesome.
Yeah.
And I actually love, you know, he seems great. And I've met him twice now and like really liked him.
Yeah.
But
and
I'm like,
you.
If I like his picture, he's probably just going to think I want to get booked at his club. Like I get very paranoid.
I think that it's right. Certain people are completely fake and they literally are just friends with people because they want to get spots or whatever. And then certain people genuinely like the people and also want to get spots.
Isn't that so weird? Someone actually genuinely likes people.
Yeah. Like what? Bizarre. Who does that? Yeah. I think people can see through it. And also like at clubs, it'll be the same thing. Like you'll end up hanging out, you know, during the headliner set or during the host set or whatever position you're in, talking to like the bartender or the booker. And then you can tell if it's a fun conversation or if it's like work or what people are going for. But
then what's the transition from like, I'm hanging around this person at this club to now we're friends? That's that space that's missing for me. Is it in social media? Maybe you just start liking people's pictures and then you connect through social media, or you just get someone's phone number.
Yeah, I feel like it's more blatant in clubs. Like if you're talking to someone throughout the night or throughout a whole weekend who's like a booker, at the end they'll usually be like, hey, I enjoyed your set, you were great, this is the we have
that's
people
never happened
twice.
To me, so I have no idea. That's why it's a black spot.
No, I'm like sure missing that phase. You probably like take off before there's a chance to say it. That's the other thing, it's like hanging around is the only thing, because then usually they'll be like, hey, for like features we do twice a year, for headliners we do once a year, for hosts you can do three, like, so send me your avails. And then it's like both, so then it's not weird, because if you don't have that and you just leave, then I guess it is weird just being like, hey, just checking in. But I also think it's always fine to be like, hey, enjoyed hanging out with you, also what do I do to send in avails? And then they'll be like, never send in avails. Or they'll be like, yeah, this is how we do
right.
So if you do happen to like strike up a friendship and you have that leg up, that it's good, like you should use that, even though it feels sleazy.
Yeah,
because
like, hey, I really
like you,
I
but
really
also
like someone, I would get way too paranoid if I went on to say just him, for example, I went onto his Instagram and liked a picture. I would probably want to comment or direct message him saying, I'm not liking this just so you'll like me, I swear to God.
That might be a step too far.
Right.
To be like, oh, by the way, this is a legit like. Right. And then he'd be like, wait, I wasn't even thinking it.
And then I make things weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like if a guy wants to go on a date with you and you're like, I don't, or if he's not even asking you out, but he's talking to you and you're like, I don't want to go out with you. He's like, well, I wasn't even asking.
Yeah.
Like it just almost takes it up this like weird level.
Right. And that's the other weird thing about being a girl that happens again when you know someone's hitting on you, but they haven't done it blatantly. And you're like, now it's weird if I'm just like, oh, I'm not interested. They're like, yeah, get over yourself. Right.
I know. Because you look like a giant asshole.
Yeah.
A cocky motherfucker. Dan, that happens to Dan all the time.
Yeah, basically. It's already happened twice during this podcast. I was going to say though, similar to advertising, it's basically like a similar thing. Like you got to, like I freelance, so you have to get out there, meet people. And then if the agency and the people, like the creatives at that agency know you, then they'll book you. But if they don't, it's you're kind of just like cold calling. So you have to do that a lot. And you're like, hey, let's go get a drink. But you still have to be.
It's almost like you're on like a work date with them.
Oh, 100%. Like there's so many times where it's like, I got to go on kind of one of those weird work dates. And that can be painful because sometimes you're just like, how long can I be here before I can wrap it up and it's not super weird?
Yeah.
And you're like, and they're probably thinking the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're just like, all right, this is great. Mm-hmm. I'll email you tomorrow.
And then no email.
And then I have to go home and be like, never again.
Well, the way we met, I thought was really funny. So I thought Dan was the biggest weirdo. Because we were, and I still
right.
do.
You had like a paper towel on your lip. I was like, all right.
I know that I wonder why I don't have friends.
Just bleeding everywhere. Just like, why isn't anyone hanging out?
So weird. We went to portfolio school together, which is for creatives and advertising to put together a book of advertisements, basically, to then get hired in an agency. And they made us take a stand-up class there. That's how I ended up doing stand-up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Wow. I would have never, ever attempted stand-up on my own.
This was here or in LA?
In Chicago.
This was in Chicago.
Okay.
Well, when we met, you were standing outside of the building. I was brand new to Chicago. Like, I'd been there for probably 2 days before school started. And we were standing outside, and it was probably negative 20. It was so cold. And I didn't know if you were a student or just hanging around me. I mean, I was giving myself too much credit. Like, I don't want to go out with you.
I was both.
Like, back off. Yeah.
So you were like hanging out front, and you were like, hey, or something. And I was like, hello, weirdo. Like, get away. I don't know why you're talking to me. And you kept hanging around because the door of the school wasn't open or something. Like, but it was just like you were lingering in the dark near me. And so then like the door opened, I remember, and you headed upstairs. And I was like, oh, he's going to the school too. So I felt like a big asshole. Mm-hmm. But then...
You are.
I know. And then I was pretty antisocial in the portfolio school, but I liked you a lot. I didn't talk to like too many people, but the way like our casual friendship started was just I thought you were really funny, and so then I was like willing to talk to you because I only talked to the funniest people.
There's a few people that weren't funny. We didn't
Some
talk to them at all.
Yeah, so bad. There were like weirdos in there that were. I'm like, why are you here? They should have been accountants or something. Like they had no creative brain.
And that's what
funny.
They actually
no one
are
knows
now.
That about I know. Themselves.
I know.
Problem. Everyone always thinks they're genius. They're like, one guy told me once I was funny, and that's so true.
I know. I hate when I hear that because then if someone tells me I'm funny, it dilutes it. You know,
that's hilarious.
I'm like, but someone else told this person that they were funny and they're not funny.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. In friends, like you kind of have a sense of who's like-minded. Like you figure out and migrate towards each other.
Yeah,
I think, you
it's
know?
Kind of like flies to shit, I guess. Like I was attracted to your pile of shit.
Exactly. Yeah, big pile of shit right here. Do you have like any friends? Sorry, I'm gonna be like
none. I have zero.
Super hostish right now. No, but like, do you ever have like a friend that's like kind of grandfathered in from a while ago? So it's almost just like, well, we're friends, and then you hang out with them now, and you're kind of like, I don't know this person at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is it,
or
you ever
have to like apologize for them. You're like, oh, this person was really cool at one point.
Oh, yeah. If you introduce them into like other, yeah.
I must have been drunk every time I hung out with her or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Particularly if you like pump them up. It's just like, you're going to love Steve. Best
well,
dude ever.
I said to Allie, I go, you'll love Dan. I'm like, oh, no. Shouldn't what if I pumped that. It up too much?
I know. I'm like, oh, she was way off. Jesus.
Weirdo hanging around the door again. But that's the problem. You can't talk someone up because then the expectations will only fall. So I should have said, sorry, I have to bring Dan. He's the worst.
Yeah, you got to talk.
But maybe you'll find something in him.
And then I'll say, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You'll be like, he wasn't as shitty as you said.
Right. Yeah, his pile of shit was fine. Yeah. I was kind of into it.
I won't do it again, but I think I actually have talked down friends, though, just to keep it... like. I know like on the last podcast, you're kind of talking about like hanging out with people separately. Like you're an individual hanger outer.
Yeah, I keep the world separate.
Yeah.
And then like, I like that too. That's my preference. But then someone will invite, like we'll have like a birthday party and then like different worlds will collide. That stresses me out like crazy. Cause it's like, hey, I know you from this thing. We do this thing. We like this thing. This person's different. And then like, I don't know. I never feel like it's going to work out.
That's why I can't have birthday parties.
Yeah.
I really can't. I had the last one I had was when I turned 30.
It was Chuck E. Cheese.
It was Chuck E. Cheese. And no one showed up.
Yeah.
Not even Chuck E.
That sounds amazing, actually. Like all the
just
pizza
the cheese.
For me.
Yeah, it's just the cheese. Yeah, just the pizza. But I was 30 and I invited like 10 people and not one person knew each other. And then my sister was there and she was super drunk. And so I was trying to like damage control my sister by being like, she's usually not this drunk, but she is. But then you're like, oh, that's her sister. And then I had to introduce everyone to each other. So the whole night I was super stressed. Like I turned 30, but I felt like I turned 60 because it just stressed me out so badly.
Yeah.
That I was like, I'm never doing that again. Because then I'm worried if so-and-so is having fun or enjoying themselves, or what if this person doesn't mesh with that person, or I didn't do enough for this person to pull them in. So now they're sitting like kind of alone, not really talking to anyone else. I feel responsible.
That's the worst. I hate that if you look over and someone's just kind of like,
Yeah.
And then you're like, should I talk to them?
I know, it's do like, I can only do so much for you to get you involved. I can introduce you.
I don't understand how people throw people surprise parties. I would be so angry if anyone ever threw me a surprise. I'd be like, how did you find all these people? No one gets along. No one knows each other. Why are we all here?
It'd be surprising because they got along. Like, that'd be the surprise part.
I'd be the one sitting in the corner with no one talking to me. I'd be like, they all love each other, apparently.
I'd be surprised if I went. Because it's like, I always like to get invited to shit. I don't want to go to it, though.
Of course not.
It's this sucks.
No, honestly, this occurred to me the other day because I went to the Emmys 2 years ago now. I'm like,
I remember that. Yeah.
Two Emmys ago. And it was amazing and awesome. And I loved it. And I, of course, you know, would want to go again. But the Oscars was just on. And like, I looked at it and kind of went like, even if I was able to go to the Oscars, which I will never be able to, but if I were invited, I think I'd still even think that would be a headache. Like, because I'm like, okay, I did the Emmys. I got it. I saw how it worked. Like, oh, I got to get a dress.
It's a lot of work to get all dressed up and have makeup done and then stand there. And then the thing itself is like 3.5 hours, right? Because they have to break for commercial.
Right,
all
and then
the time.
There's the after thing.
Yeah.
It's like once you see behind the curtain, I think, of things, it loses its luster pretty quickly.
Did you have to do stuff or is it just like you were attending?
I was just attending with my friend Kevin.
I remember.
And
I don't think
he won
I knew
an
him,
Emmy.
But that's amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So it was really cool. I was like, it was so
that's
almost
the best way to go.
Definitely. It was like I went from 0 to 60 without doing anything to earn it. Like I just went from being like a nobody plebe to like HBO flew me out. Because I was back home. I was in New York at the time.
They fly out guests too?
Guests of guests.
That's amazing. That's,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know that. Great.
First class. I'd never been in first class before. So I was like, this is amazing. I had a driver come to my house. And I live in the middle of nowhere. I was at my parents'
house. You're like hoping all the neighbors are home. You're like, be home.
Like, of course, they only see me when I go out with like, like to pick up dog shit. And I look horrific. But this like black SUV shows up, picks me up, brings me to the airport. And to talk about how I became friends with Kevin, it is like a like-minded thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm just having that realization because Kevin saw me doing stand-up in like the belly room or something. And he came up to me after and he was like, oh, you're really funny. And I knew he hung out with like, at the time he hung out with like Chelsea Peretti and like kind of that crowd that was really big.
Right.
And I was like super intimidated because I just was like, those people don't know me. They don't like me. They'll never like me. I'm not part of their world. And Kevin kind of kept at me. And I saw his comedy and I was like, oh, he's adorable and he's not intimidating. And then I opened myself up kind of to just like
being friends. Yeah.
It's weird when you open yourself up to the idea of like being friends. You're like, oh, things can actually just be enjoyable and
nice. Like, well, I don't have to overthink this.
Right. Like I just be friends with him.
Yeah.
But what to go back to what we were saying, anything just feels so daunting. So like if someone was like, we're going to have a makeup artist here for you and get you an amazing dress and you're going to see Leo at the Oscars and he might kiss you. Of course I'd be excited, but there'd still be part of me that'd be like, oh, I got
to
wake
four
up.
4 hours of,
like I got to set my alarm. Like the night before I'd be like, oh, I have to wake up.
Yeah.
But that's awful. Like losing the luster for life is really just like
would they say that though? They'd
be
like, Leo might kiss you. Like they give you that much of a prep.
They do. That's what they said at the Emmys. They're like, Leo's not going to be there, but he might kiss you still.
There's still a chance somehow that this works out. Like
the kid from head of the class might kiss you.
That is what happens just as you get older, though. Everything that was so, I mean, even just in comedy itself, it's like when you saw people do Letterman, it was so amazing. You were like, oh, that person's amazing. They're probably famous and killing it at life. And now like our friends are sleeping on our couches that are doing Letterman. You know, it just, the luster just disappears. And like you said, it's like an amazing experience that you got to have. But when you think about it, you're like, oh, that was a lot to go through. Yeah. If I had to do that again, you're like, oh, I already did that. I don't know if I need to do it again.
Yeah, like I saw it. Because I remember before I moved to LA, I was watching some award show. And I remember thinking, I'm supposed to be there, not here. And I never thought in a million years, like I would actually really be able to get there. But I went and I'm like, okay, I did it. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, but that was like 10 years in the making of desperately like, not that my only goal was to go to an award show. I wasn't even invited personally. But if it was, I achieved my goal.
You made it.
But I think back to the girl who was sitting on the couch. I mean, I'm always on the couch, but the one 10 years ago looking at the screen going, I need to be there. And then she got there and now she's like, nah, what's next? Eh. Everything's like, eh.
I know. And I think, I don't know if that's good or bad in life that like by the time you get anything that you thought you wanted to have, you're like, well, I should have maybe had that before and it's not that great now.
There was a show, I won't mention the name or the host because I don't want to get them in trouble, but there was a show I loved as a kid And I mean, I wouldn't even really get them in trouble, but there was a show I watched all the time in high school. And I was
Knight Rider?
Yes. But I watched it during the day. I was a rebel.
Yeah, that was cool. Seven.
And
I wanted to say like the Cosby Show. You're like, I don't want to get that guy.
That's hilarious. So I would watch the show every single day after school, and I loved the guy who hosted it. And then I met him 10 years ago.
Oh, like, I know who you're talking about. I remember this. And he was super sleazy.
Such a sleazeball.
Totally hit on you.
Creepy.
Yeah.
And it was like finding out Santa wasn't real.
And I think that happens.
Santa had a boner.
So much. I think that happens so much as you get older that it really takes. Now you start expecting it is the problem. Now you're like, oh, I don't want to. It's the never meet your heroes thing.
Yeah, like I never, because I love Jerry Seinfeld so much. Yeah. I really genuinely don't want to meet him. You know, of course, I'm like, oh, that's awesome if I got to meet Jerry.
No, but
or
people
Larry
say
David.
He's an asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen him be, I did meet him briefly, like, when I was like 18, but I don't really count that. But he was an asshole.
Oh,
so funny. I had his book, and it was called Sign Language. But on right. the back of his book, it said, "It's my book, but you can read it." And so I was 18. I came home from college to see him at the Stanley Theater in Utica, New York. And it was like this harrowing experience because I took the train and a crane fell on the train tracks and we had to stop. And I like was like, I can't miss Jerry. I was obsessed. You know, he was like my hero.
Yeah.
So I made it like, I think right in time or something. Like I didn't end up missing him. I think I missed Tom Papa, I think, opened up for him. And I think I missed him.
Okay.
So I missed like the first like 45 minutes maybe or something. So anyway, I waited until after. I'd never thought I would do comedy. I, you know, it wasn't like I was like trying to meet Jerry to hustle or something. You know, I just was like, I love Jerry. And so I had his book and I didn't know what to say. And he took forever to come out afterward. And there were like two of us left because it was 20 degrees and, you know, no one, he's not that great where people would wait in 20 degrees yeah. for like an hour and a half. It was just like me and this one other person and my dad who was just being lovely, but he also probably looked like a weirdo because he's a big creepy guy standing at the door like Dan. But mm-hmm. but Jerry came out finally and I'm like 18, you know, I don't understand what it's like to be a celebrity. I'm ignorant to like, you know, how annoying it is. And so I gave him his book to sign and I didn't know what to say and I really wanted to say something to make him laugh. So I go, "It's my book, but you can sign it."
That's good.
And I thought that was pretty good for an 18-year-old girl. Yeah. Like, and he went, ah.
He's like, not funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
God.
He didn't even give me, like, a sympathy, like, that was cute.
He did, like a gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard, that's like, all I've heard is about his attitude yeah. towards fans.
And I get it.
No, not in that situation. If you're an 18-year-old girl who's clearly excited who waited in the cold to see him,
yeah.
be a little appreciative.
Yeah.
I get it if you're, like, at dinner and someone bothers you, you can be like, ugh.
Right.
Yeah, like,
but
that's what he's there.
You're leaving a show. People,
exactly.
you bought a ticket. You try, like, yeah.
I know. A train at my...
You almost got killed by a train.
And you right. brought his book. You know what I mean?
I know, like, yeah. You know how heavy it was? So thin.
I know.
It's heavy to carry around. It's like tiny. But he did sign it. You know, it's not like he didn't go through with it. But I genuinely wouldn't want to meet him again.
Yeah.
Because of that. Because I love him so much.
There's so many stories of him being an asshole. Yeah.
I wish you brought like a different book.
Oh, you my God.
See,
like, that
here's
been fun.
Yeah. Leading with My Chin by Jay Leno. But you can sign it.
That would have been good. He still wouldn't have laughed, but that would have been good.
Yeah, I know. He wouldn't have signed it. He'd be
yeah.
like, ugh.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah.
I've heard interviews with him, and I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and he interviewed Seinfeld, and he interviewed Larry David. And Larry David seems like the more standoffish asshole type guy. And when he talks to Seinfeld, Seinfeld's like, he has no appreciation for fans. He doesn't want anything to do with them. He doesn't, you know, he wants his privacy. So Howard said the same thing to Larry David. It's like, oh, it's probably so annoying because people want to go up to you and take selfies now and all this stuff. And like, oh, must be the worst. And Larry David's like, yeah, no, it's okay. He's like, I'm doing pretty well because of them. Like,
wow.
I'm totally fine. I can take a picture. And I was like, wow, that's
surprising.
So refreshing. Isn't that surprising?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I don't mind. It's totally. And he gets it. He was like appreciative. He's
wow.
like, I live a good life because of these people. I can take a picture. It's not going to kill me.
Right. Well, my roommate, not that this is the same thing. My roommate was working for Postmates and she delivered food to Larry. She didn't know it was to Larry, but it was in his office in Santa Monica. And she said he was really cool and he gave her $20.
Yeah.
You know, but she's also, I don't know if it was brought on by what she looks like because she is gorgeous. Because I did see a video of him being kind of mean to somebody.
Oh.
And I was like, maybe because she's so pretty.
Yeah.
Or he would have just done that to anybody. I don't know. Like, I wanted him to meet a friend that wasn't as attractive so I could
gauge
his assholeness because she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, but.
I should get a job with Postmates and we can do this whole experiment.
Do an experiment.
Put this to the test. Yeah, and randomly hope that Larry requests adjusted the time that you happen to be at work and have your
There's no way it could fail.
No, it's definitely going to work.
Yeah.
But all right, so let's talk about stuff that annoys you that people do, which I like to call this segment lukewarm topics. But I don't think I like that as much. I used to do this thing like a long time ago where I'd call it lukewarm topics, where it was anything that wasn't a hot topic.
Oh,
like,
gotcha.
Not like celebrity gossip.
I feel like you have
something.
To explain that though. Right. When you say
so,
it.
So I used to have a blog called Sweat the Small Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I might just call this Sweat the Small Stuff, but it's kind of cheesy.
No, but that works. I think that I like that.
Okay.
Maybe like, what really grinds my gears?
That statement.
TM. Yeah.
The other one I was thinking, which is not like good, but it's etiquette based. And whenever you say the word etiquette, it sounds almost like it'd be from the 1800s. Like, pick your spoon up and, you know, put it on the left of your plate.
Napkin on your lap.
So it'd be like, not your grandmother's etiquette. But that just sounds really dumb and cheesy. But I want it to be like hipper etiquette. You know, like stuff that is annoying in today's world that wouldn't be in like an actual etiquette book, but it's still etiquette.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So anyway, we'll figure that out. But so let's talk about stuff that pisses us off.
Oh, there's so much.
Everything.
Even just the smallest. Like a guy was whistling the other day in the subway station. I think that's so rude to force someone to listen to your shitty whistling. It's
but
horrible.
What if they're really good?
No, even then.
Like a pro? Like forcing,
it's the same as like people who walk around with music playing instead of headphones. It's
yeah,
like no one wants to hear your shit.
Well, I think people in the baby boomer generation need a PSA or something to explain that to them that they need to wear headphones if they watch a movie on their phone or a video on their phone.
But it's
in
young
public.
People too now. It's like,
really?
I was in an Uber pool the other day and it wasn't even a video. The guy was having a full on FaceTime conversation with his girlfriend with no headphones. I was like, come on. And I just did the passive aggressive thing where I like looked over a couple times, but I was like, why can't I be like, dude, put in earbuds?
Well, I think I've come a long way because before I would have said something.
Oh, you would have?
Yeah. I have
I wish
a really
that I was
weird
that type of person that could.
I have a really weird short fuse when it comes to people being assholes
yeah.
and me keeping my mouth shut. And it has gotten me into bad scenarios. And I've really had to work really hard on not just butting in.
No, I love that you do that.
But it's like,
you'll get yourself.
I could say to the wrong person.
Shoot you. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also thought it was doing me more damage because I would get so stressed after the incident. So here's one as an example where I butted in, not really butted in, but I spoke up.
Yeah.
And no one backed me. And then I was like, just crying and I'm totally embarrassed, but I was in the right. So we were on a, I was on a flight to LA, 5-hour flight, long flight. And there was a little girl who was not of like toddler age where you can't control a toddler. She was probably like 5 or 6 and was shrieking and screaming at the top of her lungs the entire flight.
Jesus.
Like literally she was like, ah, like, but it wasn't, she had nothing wrong with her. And that was a horrific sound. I will never make that again. I feel like the devil just came out of me, but it was like blood curdling. And like, she had snot running out of her nose. She was just an awful little girl who was just the worst.
And her parents weren't doing anything.
And her mom did nothing. Like literally the entire time did nothing. Once we landed, we were stuck on the tarmac for like an hour and it just kept going and going. And not one person said anything like, ma'am, could you take her to the bathroom or anything?
Yeah.
And I know everyone sitting around me was like, please, God, stop. But no one would say anything.
Yeah.
It didn't even look like the woman was going like, honey, stop or calm down. Like she was just letting her just freaking be the biggest asshole ever. And so finally I go, I can't remember exactly what I said so long ago now, but I said, could you like try to get her to stop crying or something like that? Like, not to be an asshole, but it was like, for the sake of everyone else on the plane, this is absurd. It's
yeah,
been like 7 hours
now.
That's
the nicest way you could say that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this guy goes, mind your own business.
Another,
and I'm
like a different person?
A different person. I go, oh! I'm like, I'm the bad guy in this? Are you kidding? I'm trying to help everybody on the fucking plane. And so then one guy like looked almost like he wanted to support me, but then he just kind of like backed away. And then the woman like yelled at me.
That's
that
and then
like
I started crying and I cried like the whole like walk to the car from the plane. You know, I just was devastated because I thought I was helping
yeah.
society And I wasn't being like, shut that bitch up. You know, I was just like, well,
also,
you, like,
you should have tried that though.
But that's the thing. They probably wouldn't have fucked with me if honestly. I was like more brazen like, about it.
Super confident about it. Because I wonder about that. I always have like the, I should have. Oh, he would have.
Yeah, if I said all this. That. And yeah,
but it probably wouldn't do anything. So it's just like, whatever. But it gives you a little bit of something to like think about. Because I would have been like, oh, you know what I could have said? Oh, like,
right.
I just got
well,
it.
I think I had those moments too. Like as I was walking off.
As you were like crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have been so much tougher. But I, in my mind, of course, I played it out like I was going to be a hero.
Right. I would have thought you would have been my hero.
Yeah. If I, was and I think I was secretly people's hero, but no one would support me or back me. And then I had another guy yell at me and then she yelled at me. And then I just looked like a giant dick. And so I've learned that as much as I want to do that, I hold my tongue now because it only hurts me.
Yeah.
In the long run. If I had the support of everyone on the plane, they like I imagine it is like some grand scenario where people carry me out on their shoulders and they're like, hurrah, she's a hero.
Someone did it.
Right. Instead, I just like crinkle up into a ball and cry.
You start whistling.
Yeah, but I picture it to be this momentous thing where we come together as a society. And they're like, yes, we've been wanting to say that the whole flight.
Yeah.
Yes, we're all one. Instead, it like divided us more. And so I just...
Well, I wonder though if like... If you did get what you kind of were hoping, obviously not carried out, but if someone's like, yeah, shut her up. Like, I bet you, I guess you would have like felt way better.
Yeah, but no one did that. So I just was like, I just shrunk in my seat. I was humiliated.
Yeah.
And then what's even worse is like the walk off the plane. I'm like in the cattle amongst everyone who was just witnessing me like getting yelled at.
Which is the longest thing ever. I don't know why it takes so long for humans to get off a fucking plane.
Oh, I should have just stayed in the seat and let everyone go because I was just so uncomfortable the whole time.
You're like, I'm going to Hawaii.
I would have just turned to the kid and been like, can you just shut up? Can you do anything? Like your parents, clearly no one else is going to take...
Right. They did not. It was like she did nothing the entire time. And you can feel like your blood boiling, like the adrenaline starts going. And it was the whole flight. My adrenaline was just like... going because I was trying not to say anything. And I understand kids can be difficult. And I have empathy because my niece can be a maniac and my sister can't control her. And I understand. But for like the full duration of an entire flight where you don't put any effort into trying to make the people around you comfortable.
Yeah.
Makes me so mad when people aren't paying attention to the world around them and in worrying about them. It bothers me.
I feel like the age thing too is like really weird because if that's like a 2-year-old to like a baby, then you feel bad for the
parents. Right, and I wouldn't have said anything.
Oh, that's so bad. But
right,
then
you can't control that.
Right,
yeah.
I wouldn't. If it was a toddler baby, I wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, totally. And you do. Like I will sit there and be like, this sucks, but like I feel bad because you know they're definitely like, they don't want this.
Yeah, and this girl could definitely like spell her name, I'm guessing. If you're old enough to spell your name, you can't scream.
Well, I'm just surprised that it was a stranger who yelled at you because I've seen that play out where the parents freak out, but a stranger, you would think all the strangers would be on the same boat.
Well, I don't know if he thought maybe because she was by herself, the mother, like if she was a single
but
mom
still,
or something.
You have to make it. I mean, that's who cares? You have to try. I saw that play out. I was at a bank one time and a mom was just letting her kids like run rabid pretty much through the bank and going nuts. And it was crowded and it happened for like 10 minutes. And then one of the staff members of the bank actually said something and was like, hey, and to the kids, not to the parent, was like, hey, can you guys calm down? And the mom flipped out, was like, you don't tell my kids how to behave. I'm the parent. And then like, no, and the whole bank just got so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's why people don't say anything.
Yeah, don't speak up. Because the guy was totally right. And it was the same thing. It was not toddler. It was like kids that could be controlled. But the mom had no interest in saying anything.
That's why I bank online.
Yeah, that's why I would do everything online. That's why everyone is home as much as possible.
It's a great ad for banking online. That's why Dan's in advertising.
Right. Hold on, let me write this down.
That portfolio class really worked for you guys.
Boom.
Well, I was going to mention the airport anyway, but when people stand at the gate before and line up almost in like a herd, it's not even a real line. Everyone just is hovering around the gate.
Just blocking the entrance.
Yeah, it's... I feel like they should make people sit down just for the sake of it being like a fire hazard. I mean, it. Like
there's never going to be a fire out. And you run into a plane. You're probably
you like run out the like whatever that tarp. What is that thing?
Yeah,
the tarmac thing.
Is that what it's called? The thing that's like they hook up to the.
No, like that bridge.
Yeah,
thing,
the bridge.
Whatever
like,
that is.
Yeah. They run, like in Dumb and Dumber, just straight out the bridge and then fall onto the cement because there's no plane.
But I always like it because there'll be like the little car that's got like the beep beep and that's like get through everybody. I'm always like, good, sit down. Because if you have your seat number too, like if it's south, like southwest, I get it. Like you have to kind of like line up.
That one
like,
makes
what
sense.
Are you?
Oh, right.
What are you? Oh, A32.
You're competing for the not middle seat.
Exactly. And you don't want that. But like if you're like.
Or the
oh,
seat that
I,
doesn't get sucked out onto the.
Yeah, you don't want that either.
Yeah.
Unless there's a kid screaming, then you're like, suck me out of
it. Go for it.
Maybe that's what was happening.
If you have a seat number and like that's where you're going to seat, I never understand that. Like,
well, I know what it is now. It's because the
overhead space.
Yeah, exactly. And people are such assholes because now they charge you for checking bags. Mm-hmm. So everyone just has the biggest bag they can fit in the overhead space. So everyone's fighting for
that's
it.
That's true.
Now.
Yeah, that's true. Because I rarely travel with a carry-on. And I'm going to be talking shit about people I think who are assholes when I'm the Trump of, like, I'm trumping them. Not, that wasn't a Trump reference, but like, I'm trumping them.
No, it worked both ways.
It did work, yeah. As an asshole, because the reason that started annoying me was because I was traveling with my dog who was a support animal, quote unquote.
Right.
But I did have super massive anxiety flying. Like, I had dreams about planes crashing like once
tiny.
A week. And
your
my dog's small.
Tiny. Yeah.
It was like a reasonable thing, except until like toward the end when he got super aggressive. And like, I was more worried about him biting someone than the plane going down.
Oh,
but actually, it was kind of helpful because then I didn't worry about my fear of flying.
You're like, this is what he's here for.
I'm just worried about him killing someone on the plane. So I have to focus on this.
Yeah.
And not the fact that we might crash. So the reason it would piss me off when people hung around was because I would be pre-boarding because of that, which is such bullshit. Like,
that's amazing,
I've got my like support animal and I get to pre-board. But I really would pre-board because I didn't want to freak him out with people like all around. So I'd go first. But I couldn't get through to pre-board because people would be like around in that circle around the entrance. And I'd be like, excuse me.
And they also don't move when
they
say
excuse
me.
Yeah. And I've got a dog. I'm trying to get through. Everyone's just standing there. So
you're like, can you throw your baby to the side? Me and my dog are coming through.
So I'm just an asshole.
Get your crutches
about
and move
other
over.
Assholes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. I have such asshole behavior too, but then I'm the first to complain when other people
right,
have it.
Exactly. And it'd be funny because I'd be boarding the plane at the same time with old women in wheelchairs. Like, excuse me, I'm part of this group. Thank you very much. asshole. Yeah,
I'm always like off buying like a tuna fish sandwich so I can like bring it on.
But that's another thing. You can't bring tuna onto a plane. The smell?
No, I know. It's like the worst.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that was, you were saying that on purpose. Okay.
People do that more with, I don't think I've had tuna fish sandwiches, but people do like the McDonald's breakfast all the time. That is pretty smelly. I mean, but it's like in a good, that stuff doesn't bother me as much because it's less and it goes away. It dissipates. But someone yelling or screaming for 5 hours on a flight, even if it's a baby at that, like 5 hours gets to me, but you can't say anything. But I do the passive aggressive thing where I'll start like looking at the parents and being
kind
nasty.
Kind of give like an eye.
Yeah. And I do feel bad because same with my sister's three kids and it's tough, but 5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I thought I was given a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
You know,
I, you'd be my hero in that situation. Yeah. And that's my thing. I want to be able to say things more, except the only time I've ever said anything that was like visceral was I was in a park and this kid was giving this other kid, there was like a little Indian kid that was getting bullied and he kept being like, give me your money. And they were kids. So I was walking by and I go, hey, stop it.
I'll always yell at kids if they're being mean to another kid.
But they're terrifying because then the kid turned around and was like, what was that? And then I was like, oh my God. I just started like busting ass towards the subway. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's true. That is pretty scary.
Yeah. Like kids don't have any fear sometimes. They'll come after you.
No. I'm always afraid if I do that. I have occasionally maybe butted into little kids being dicks to other little kids. But I'm always afraid they're just going to come back to me with like, shut up, old lady.
I know.
And then I feel bad about myself.
Just their words are insulting enough. And I was like, oh God, you will destroy me.
Like I'm still, and this is a thing. I think maybe I did this before on the show talking about things I need to tell my therapist, or maybe I didn't, but I'm still afraid of 14-year-old girls. I'm super intimidated by teenage girls.
Yeah.
Even at 35.
I'm more afraid of them. Yeah. Cause they try to say shit, you know, to get their group going.
Yeah.
You know, you'll walk by. I remember I was walking with my friend Anaya a couple of years ago and she was like 30 and some little 14-year-old, she had like a crop top on and she was really skinny and she was like, yeah, you're something about, yeah, you anorexic bitch. And she was like, did I just get heckled by a 14-year-old?
Right. They're scary. They're just animals.
Yeah. And they love it. Like they're, you know, they're fearless. Yeah. They're just trying to make a show for their friends.
When I lived in Santa Monica, I was right by Santa Monica High School. And so I was, if I'd walked my car, all of a sudden, of course, it'd be like lunch break or something. And I'd just be walking by this really cool group of Santa Monica teenagers that like, I'm so intimidated. You know, there's these beach girls that are tan.
A murder of teens.
Literally a murder of teens. That's what it should be called. And one time.
October 1st.
So this is another, this was one of the stories that it did go the way that I wanted to, where I felt like the hero when I said something, like I was super smooth and just was the coolest. So there was this house across from the apartment building I lived in by Santa Monica High School and old people lived in it and they kept it beautiful. Like they were always fixing their garden and, you know, primping it and whatever. And this one day a girl was walking by and I was walking to my car and I was kind of behind her and she threw a gum, like a Dentine ice, like thing or whatever, gum thing on their
lawn. Like a wrapper?
Lawn. Oh, yeah, like the, gotcha. The packet.
The packet?
Yeah. She just like was done with it and she chucked it on their lawn. And I'm like, don't fuck with old people, bitch. So I was walking behind her and I was the smoothest I'd ever been in my entire life. Like if I could be the smooth every day, I would be unstoppable. So she kept going. I picked it up and I just go, excuse me. I go, you dropped this. And she turned around and she went to say thank you. And then she realized I was being a dick.
Yeah.
And she took it and she was like, bitch. But she took it and just kept walking. And
did
I was like,
yeah,
and then she just
no,
threw
she
it again.
Yeah.
But she
great.
Looked at me
she
like.
She threw it at you?
Yeah. It's like in my car somewhere, probably. She keep my car, probably. But it was so smooth the way she looked excited because I was going to give her something that she dropped.
Yeah.
And then she felt like an ass. You could see she realized like what a dick move that was.
Yeah.
And I saw like the light switch in her mind. And that's what I wanted was to like that communication of like stopping a dick.
Yeah.
And so, but it doesn't always go that way.
Yeah.
Usually I end up crying like in the other scenario.
And usually I wouldn't even say anything and I would just be like fuming behind her like. No,
the worst is like, so where like I live, people's like, everyone has like dogs and they always shit. And like I've seen people like their dog will take a huge shit and then like they just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And I want to pick it up and be like, here
in
you
your,
drop
in your
this.
Bare hand. Yeah.
Just something like that. But no, it happens all the time. And it is annoying because it's like, I don't want to like step on a big like pile of shit on the way to work.
Right. But that's how I met you though, is because you.
Yeah. That's how I meet everybody. When we talk about friends, it's just like, hey, what's up, buddy? I just stepped in shit. How are you?
Well, there's those dog parts where, and not like dog park, but like part of the sidewalk that they have randomly in cities that has a green strip of fake grass for them to poop on. I don't know if you guys have seen those, but it's just for dogs to just poop. It's not like a run around play area. And they have bags and a garbage right there. And there's always that one piece of giant shit, but there's a garbage and a bag right here for you to pick it up and someone still leaves it. But it's like, but there's a, how much easier do they need to make it?
Yeah.
Like, do your hands need to be made of a bag for, you know, you to like just pick it up and throw it away?
That's the thing about private behavior.
That's like a shitty superhero power. Come dog shit bag, man.
Every time I see it, I have to pick it up.
Like, damn you. No, but like if there's dog shit at a dog park, Brooklyn is filled with dog shit. To the point where you'd be amazed.
Are you talking about the hipsters or actual dog shit?
Just actual hipster shit.
Every part of Brooklyn. Okay.
Luckily, the dogs are like really small, but still, I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, because
it really grinds my gears.
It really grinds your gears.
That's the thing about like what we were saying though, private behavior. If people think they're not being watched, they'll be disgusting. Like if you think that no one sees you, people will leave their pile of dog shit anywhere they can.
Well,
I'm gonna start videotaping.
That's
gonna
what
have
I mean.
Like a huge.
But just you being there, seeing someone should make them pick it up. Like if I was an owner, I feel like I might, if I was alone on the street, let it go. But if anyone was there to watch me, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm picking up this dog shit because I don't want to be yelled at. That would be so embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, occasionally, this is not something I want to brag about, but occasionally, if I'm kind of in a hurry or if I'm at the movies and I really like the movie and I go to the bathroom or I'm boarding the plane, I don't necessarily always wash my hands when I go to the bathroom, which is asshole behavior to like not wash your hands.
And really asshole behavior to hand me this mic.
I did wash my hands on the thruway stop on the way down here. Okay. By the way, I would say probably 90% of the time I wash my hands, but if I'm in like a hurry or something, I don't wash my hands. But if I'm in a hurry and there's someone in the bathroom, I will wash my hands for that person's sake.
Oh, if someone's
I just
at
turn
the sink?
Sink on.
Or if they're even
people
in.
People do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yep, guess what I'm doing? Not washing my hands.
Yeah, I'm just like fixing my hair, but I have the sink running. It's just like epic asshole behavior.
I don't even know. I mean, people are so upset. There was some guy on Fox and Friends who last week said he never washes his hands.
Yeah.
And he was like, his whole thing was that you inoculate yourself against everything if you don't wash your hands and that you can't see germs so they're not real and all this.
I've read that though, but it is still kind of gross.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely gross, but it's like, I mean, if you're, I feel like guys don't wash their hands a lot. Girls do much more often.
I'm motivated by the mirror. I'm like, well, I want to look in the mirror. I'm here anyway.
That's
I might
the thing.
As well
when
wash.
People turn the sink on and don't bother, it's like just the little extra step. Yeah, hands under there's not that hard,
right? I admitted to doing that.
Yeah, I've done that before too. I don't even know. I guess because you don't want. Sometimes it's cold. You don't want to like
well,
leave with
sometimes
wet hands
my sleeve is too long, and I don't want to get the sleeve wet. And I know I didn't really touch much. I definitely didn't touch any of mine. Like, you know.
The only time I won't wash my hands is if they have like the blade. Because then, like, you're playing basically like that game of Operation, and you're getting your hands dirtier than when you went in. Like that little air thing that you have to like put your hands
in. Why? Because if someone touches it, then it's got their germs rolling back and forth.
Worse? I thought that was supposed to be super clean because you don't touch anything.
Yeah.
No, it's like that weird little thing. You have to like put your hands in, but you don't want to touch the side, but it's impossible. So you always end up touching the side, and you walk out and you're like, that's the grossest thing
ever. I think you just might
ever.
Have a neurological disorder.
I do.
Really not that hard to not touch
this
the side.
What I wanted to talk to my therapist about the blade.
This is an intervention. You have to get help. Okay. That's the whole point. Actually, I saw this when I was on the road one time. There was a like handle on the door. It's like this thing that was like a bar. And what it is you hook your elbow through it. So you pull the door open like that so you don't have to get your hands dirty after you wash them. And it was at a the worst restaurant ever. I can't even think of it. We don't have them here. One of those ones that's like the buffet with the chocolate fondue fountain.
Ponderosa?
No.
Old Country Buffet?
Oh, so close. Not that. It's like a buffet one that's, I cannot think of the name of it. Because I would always see the commercials.
Cracker Barrel?
No, but it's right in that alley. I'd always see the commercials and be like, I need to go there. And then I finally went and I was like, this is like a brilliant thing. And it's at the weirdest, shittiest restaurant.
That's hilarious. Well, the other day, for super random, have you ever heard of Alan Partridge? It's an English comedy.
No, I don't think so.
I think that's what the name is. I was just trying to look it up on my phone, but it'll take me way too long. But I YouTubed Alan Partridge, who's played by an actor, I forget his name, who's a comedy actor. And it was really funny, and I was surprised at how funny it was. And it was super random because the clip I opened had to do with germs. And so at the end of the segment, it was almost like he was like a Daily Show correspondent type, you know? And so at the end of the quote-unquote like news segment, which wasn't really a news segment, he demonstrated how he won't touch anything in the bathroom. And it was hilarious. Like he's like, he went through the whole thing, like my elbow here, then my knee here, and then, you know, soap with that, whatever. And I'm not explaining it well, but if you Google Alan Partridge, or if you YouTube him, that might pop up. And it was like a perfect, basically, dance of how to get through the bathroom without touching anything with your hands.
And it's real. It's not just a comedy bit. Like,
no, it's
really
a comedy bit.
Oh, okay,
you know,
gotcha.
It's a comedy bit, yeah.
But there's like merit to that, though, because I've definitely used bathrooms and I'm like, turn into a ninja. You know what I mean? You can, like, flush the toilet with your foot. Everything is basically like foot powered.
And then I think, well, you have to be smart enough to not flush the toilet with your hand. I apologize for doing it with my foot, but anyone who's choosing to flush it by their hand, kind of like, it's almost like a
Darwin.
Yeah,
should like get rid of you at that point.
It's like a Darwin thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, also the people who, like, have you ever gotten into a stall with another girl, especially when they're drunk, and they'll just, like, sit on the public toilet?
That's so funny.
You're like, oh, God.
That's so funny. So the last episode we did, my friend Jen was like, I get really drunk and just sit on the toilet. For some reason,
it's always when girls get drunk. And no matter how drunk I am, I still know to hover. I'm like, I am not going near that seat.
Yeah,
there's
I always hover.
Even that paper thing you can put around it is not enough.
Oh, okay. So on the way here, and then it's weird because the show now, it went from being mental health themed to apparently, like, bathroom themed, because the last show, we, like, all only talked about the bathroom. But on the way here, I drove from upstate, and so I stopped at a throughway stop, and someone must have brought their own personal cover for the toilet, and I have a picture of it. It was polka dot.
It's embroidered.
But that's so great, because then when you put it in your bag, you have all of the...
But they didn't take it with them. They left it, so here's a picture.
This was calling just card.
From my on my way down here.
The weirdest of your... Oh, that is bizarre.
Isn't that grandma?
Oh, so they have their own like thing of disposable ones. I thought you meant that it was like a handkerchief that people put back away that they pull back out.
But they should at least discard it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other weird thing is when people leave those out. It's even grosser because then you have to find a way to get it like into the toilet.
But this is definitely not one provided by the throughway bathroom.
That's someone
this was someone brought this and it's polka
like
dot.
Like Dan said, it's their calling card.
Yeah. That's how they advertise like throughout the whole world.
Avery was here.
Yeah. It's amazing. So yeah, I have to get off the bathroom talk eventually for the show. But today, unfortunately,
Kristen
we
and
did.
Flush.
Yeah, the show right down the toilet. Okay, anything else you guys want to sweat the small stuff over? Or
no, because you sent me a text that I was thinking about it. And this is like so trivial, but it's like when somebody asks like you to watch a new show, you know what I mean? And then they check in to see if you've watched it. Mm. It's the most annoying thing. The big, have you watched Billions? Did you watch it? How about now? Did you watch it now?
I'm currently in that situation.
And you're like, no, and now I don't want to fucking watch it. You're
well,
like,
especially after they tell you how much they like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pressure's there to also like it.
Yeah.
Unless you say, it's not my thing. And then you just end it there. But I'm not comfortable enough with like someone recommending me a show and me saying I don't like it.
Speaking of which, did you guys see A Star Is Born?
Yeah.
I hated it.
No, I didn't see it.
Really?
Everyone loves it. I was like, this is the dumbest, most formulaic movie that makes no sense. And I was so excited
to
see it.
I've never wanted to see it. I haven't seen it.
It's one of those things where like that big song that they're talking about, it's like they're having this heartfelt conversation in the parking lot and then Lady Gaga gets up and she's like, tell me something, boy. And you're like, what are you doing?
That happens in real life.
Yes.
All the time.
Ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, like,
well, they were drinking
singing
all night.
It on stage and they all know. Like, it, it
yeah,
was
that is a little weird. But you gotta, I mean, I don't know.
I didn't buy the big love story. There was like, oh, the chemistry. I was like, was it? Maybe I don't know.
There's movies and shows that become bandwagon. Everyone's like, oh, it was amazing. But no one actually thinks it was, but they think they're supposed to say that.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like Stranger Things.
Oh.
I do not think it's a good show. I think it's terrible. And everyone just got on the bandwagon because that was the gist. Like everyone already was saying it was great. So then everyone else was like, oh, I have to be part of the herd and say it's great. And they played on the nostalgia of like, this is what it looked like when I was a kid in the movies. And
oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
You know, Stand By Me and like all those movies. They were just using that formula and not actually coming up with a creative story. I only watched the first season, but I hated it.
That's so funny.
I hated every single moment of it. And the little girl with the blood coming out of her nose.
Yeah.
All she did every show was just stand there with blood running out of her nose. I'm like, someone get this girl a tissue, please. And like, let's move on to a new storyline. Like maybe one about her obvious coke problem.
She ate Eggos.
God. So I'm not apologizing to anyone listening who likes Stranger Things. It sucked.
You're going
to
get mail for that one though.
I know. But
I just want everyone to know I liked Stranger Things. A Star is Born is great.
Wow, you have terrible taste.
Yeah.
Big piece
of
shit.
You just go with the herd.
Yep.
Well, actually, I had one of the worst in that scenario. I was on a plane and there was like a drunk guy next to me that was like, oh my God, you have to see this movie. And I didn't want to watch it at all. And he literally, it's so funny. Trust me, you have to see it. And then he like was checking in from next to me to make sure I was laughing. And I was like, this is going to be 2 hours.
You had
to perform the whole time.
Yeah. And I was like hating. I was like, can you fall asleep or something? It's so difficult when people are that in your business.
Yeah. And you just had to sit there with like a smile glued on your face. Yeah. Basically.
And like, I was trying to like do other stuff and then he would check in and I'd be like, ah. So bad.
Oh, going to nightmare.
Yeah.
Did you tell him you did comedy?
No, I never tell anybody. Okay, good, yeah. I mean, that's the death knell, especially for women, because then it's like, oh, what's it like being a female comic? And who are your favorite female comic? It gets so weirdly female centric. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I avoid talking to anybody, but eventually, like, you end up with that situation where someone won't leave you alone.
Right.
Who's next to you?
Speaking of people who are next to me that won't leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for doing the show. Thanks for coming all the way to Brooklyn. And thanks for letting me bring
Bronx. Yeah, exactly.
Bronx. Thank you for coming to the Bronx. I have no idea where I am.
From Brooklyn.
Exactly.
From Brooklyn, that's what I meant.
I usually only go 2 stops from where I live, but this was...
Yeah, we really widened your horizon.
Shit's on the move.
Mm-hmm. I live here now.
And you're in enemy territory because you got to be a Red Sox fan, right?
Yeah,
we're right by Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I really feel like there should be a law where no Patriots fans should be... Allowed to wear anywhere in New York State wearing gear. Like you can come here, but just you can't wear the gear.
I don't feel comfortable wearing like a Pat's hat.
Good. I'm glad we've made you feel that uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not fun because I do get taunted. I went to the Yankees and I had a Red Sox hat. I think it was the first time I went when I moved here, and a group of kids like slapped it off my head.
That's awesome.
And I was like, and it is like, you guys are saying how like 14-year-old like girls are scary. Like I was like, well, there's too many and like they'll beat me up. And I was like, and I'm just,
they're like little piranhas.
Yeah.
You know, they look kind of harmless.
Eat
and you see their teeth. Yeah.
And they know you can't do any. You can't beat up a pack of 14-year-old girls.
I mean, you should.
It was 14-year-old girls like, nice hat, pussy. Like, no.
Go back to
what I should have said. Oh, that happens again.
those 14-year-old girls are going down.
All right. Well, thanks for doing this, guys. Allie, where can people find you?
Well, online, I'm at Allie Breen on Instagram and Twitter.
I'm at Dan Jordan 2001 on Twitter. And to be honest, I don't think I know my Instagram handle. It's really good.
I think it's just like Dan Jordan 1 or something.
Maybe Daniel Jordan 19. I don't know. It'd be a fun game. Look for
me.
Really
have an array of
Find
numbers
me.
In there.
Yeah.
But I'm making sure I'm
There's
doing
so
this right now.
There's so many Daniel Jordans.
I'm doing this right now because my friend Jen and Kyle, who did the show last week, I didn't ask them at all. Like, Kyle
yeah, and
was
I don't
like,
know where to
my
find
Twitter?
Them.
Oh,
right.
Funny.
And I didn't even introduce them. I didn't even say, like, my friend Kyle and Jen are on the show. I just, like, forgot.
I've been looking for them at the comic strip.
All right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. Thank you.
And I feel weird bringing someone to your house, but Dan, he
was
a bit,
it was
right?
totally fine. Okay, yeah.
Good. Thank you.
It was great.
All right. So we're going to leave you with words of wisdom from Tough Love with Tony. And remember, stay bored enough to listen, but not too bored. Bye, guys.
How you doing, sweetheart? It's Uncle Tony. How you doing? I saw that I got questions now from your fucking friends. All of you with the waterworks. I think I'll take a pass. But I'll do this one. I don't remember. I don't got it in front of me. But I think his name was, I don't know, Benjamin. Some stupid name. Benji. Whatever. Like the dog. Anyway, the question was something about, like, I lost the pizzazz for life or zest for life or whatever. I don't know what to tell you. Some days you don't feel like doing it. But guess what? You got to keep going because things change. Everything's weather. Right? Storms come, they go. When you're in the middle of the storm, it feels like it's never going to end. But sure enough, the wind blows, clouds go, sun shines. Done. You got yourself a good day. And then you make the best of those good days. So that on the balance sheet, you got more of the good days than you got the bad days. Ain't that fucking hard. Next time, get a fucking job. How come none of you guys got the jobs? All right, I don't know why I'm even doing this. Anyway, keep up the good work or whatever the fuck you're doing. I hope you're getting paid. All right, there you go.